Hello, everyone. I'm T-Man, and I'm here with
Harvey Z.
And welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the show where we don't really have an intro yet. That's the problem.
I was wondering about that. Yeah, because I mean, I'm the one who's trying to become a gamer, but this is kind of your show.
Yeah, I'm your host, T-Man, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer.
I guess we should. Do we have to introduce like why we called it Make Me a Gamer?
So I was going to go into that a little bit here. So this will hopefully be episode one, if all goes well.
So we have hidden episodes.
So there was what I'm dubbing episode zero.
Oh, okay.
It's the prologue, so to speak, that may or may not ever get aired. We're not sure, depending on quality. And
I thought it was hilarious, folks, but...
So that's our origin story, so to speak, because that one we were testing out a format and we didn't really have a title yet, but the title kind of spawned from that discussion. So it'd be kind of weird to not include it.
That's true. So I can give a little bit of an example of where it came from.
Okay. So
we were giving ourselves like our backgrounds and our credibility of like who we are, which I think then if this is episode one, people need to know
probably.
Who is T-Man and who is Harvey Z.
You're already talking.
Oh, okay. So Harvey Z will take the lead. All right. I'm the captain.
No.
Oh, God. So it's your boy, Harvey Z. You may know me from T-Man's video game channels. And I was a gamer, maybe. At some point, I identified as a gamer. T-Man is probably the current and has more credibility as a gamer. But... So episode zero, we were kind of looking back on it, and I realized at some point I might have sold out. I decided to stop focusing on video games and start focusing on the real world and life and like getting into a corporate job. And then it was kind of a bummer because I like video games. They were fun. 8-year-old me got his first Sega Genesis. Then I got a PlayStation, and I then somewhere... fell off the path. And this is my attempt to kind of get back in by contacting my friend T-Man.
So I have a long history with gaming. To keep it short, I started playing games when I was 5. Mm-hmm. So I never really stopped either. I've owned every Nintendo system except for the GameCube. I skipped that.
Okay. You had nothing against the GameCube.
I didn't have anything against it, but I was a generally poor college student at that time, so I had my PS2 and kind of stuck with that.
And in college, actually, we knew someone who had a GameCube.
My freshman roommate had a GameCube, and so we had all our bases covered.
Yeah, and that got me back into... That was probably one of my heavier gaming periods was with you guys then on the GameCube.
Right. So I've had every Nintendo system, including the Wii U, which we're not going to talk about.
Didn't it do well? Is it
the no latest? The Wii U did terribly. The Wii was the one that did well.
Yes, but the newer one was the Wii U. Is there a newer than the Wii U?
Yes, there's a Switch.
I don't count that as a true video game system, but we could...
Oh, what? We're getting into this on episode one. You want to throw down right now?
Like, okay, I'm not going to challenge Mr. Gamer here, but the Wii U is a gaming system, box, platform, whatever they use the word for, like a video game system, I guess.
Console?
Yes. Yeah. Console. The Switch, it's like a glorified Game Boy.
Oh, okay.
Or like, not even a Game Boy, whatever the color Game Boys are called. I know them as Game Gears, but that's Sega. Did Nintendo ever, the 3DS?
Oh, God. Oh. So, first of all, the Switch plugs into a console and you can play it on TV. But so it can be handheld and a console for big screen gaming.
Didn't Nintendo do this where you could have a Game Boy and you could plug it into your TV and then it just projected on there? Isn't it the same thing but with better graphics?
Yeah.
Does Harvey Z get the point here?
No.
Come on, folks.
No, it doesn't, because there was I think something called the Super Game Boy.
Uh-huh.
Where you plugged it into
Your Super Nintendo.
The Super Nintendo, and then you could put the Game Boy cartridge in and play it on the TV using the Super Nintendo.
Isn't that basically the
Because this is one system that everything comes together. It's not two systems Frankensteined into one.
Isn't it? I just thought, like, there's the Switch, which, so when I say Switch, I think of, like, people have their two controllers, but it's plugged into this square screen. I feel so weird describing the Switch. It's the Switch. But then all you do is you slide it into, like, a projector device. Would that be fair to say? Like, that device does nothing on its own without...
It upscales to the TV and connects it. Yeah. So...
But the gaming system is that handheld thing.
If you want to... Yes, yes.
Like, I wouldn't say the whole thing is a Switch. I would say the things that you play portably, that's the Switch. And the other thing is an accessory.
I mean...
Isn't it like having the Game Boy with the magnifying screen? The magnifying screen isn't the Game Boy.
No, because, oh God, this is so weird.
Come on, isn't this like, am I not speaking the truth here? Or am I the one way out there and everybody else is like, no, it's a console?
It isn't like that because things like the magnifying glass, the Super Game Boy, are accessories that are sold separately. The Switch was designed for the purpose of doing this. It was designed from the ground up to be able to be played both on TV at home and handheld on the go. The controllers, the Joy-Cons that can be...
Joy-Cons?
They're called... That's what they call them. That slide off the Switch. All of that was designed for the idea of having both... Having a single console, because up until the Switch, Nintendo has had... a handheld console and a home console.
Yeah.
They had the DS and the Wii. They had the 3DS and the Wii U. And this was their attempt to just bridge the gap and have both and be able to concentrate on one system. And it's been working pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, everybody I know like does play with the Switch and everything. I have played on the Switch myself on the console version. But it's just... it's. I feel like this is a... an argument onto, like, what is a thing? It's more philosophical or semantics than it is actually gaming in and of itself, probably.
Fair enough. I have played portably on my Switch way more than I have on my home screen. Mm-hmm. I think I played Super Mario Odyssey on the big screen. Mm-hmm. And I played Xenoblade 2 for a while on the big screen. But I've much more used it as a portable device to play while I'm watching TV or something else.
Wait, you game while you watch TV?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so this is, again, part of, like, how I fell out of being a gamer. Like, gaming is a thing unto itself. Like, it's hard to, at least for me, to switch from different things. I have to, like, if I'm gaming, that's the only thing I can do. I can't do other things. And now PC games, like, you have these app games and such. Everything is meant to be played portably or distractors, kind of, in a way. Like, oh, it's a commercial break. Let me get back to my game. That's why, again, a console, you had to sit there and that's all you could do. You don't have, unless you had two TVs. I did not have two TVs.
So, first of all, we don't have commercial breaks anymore. We watch Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just a man out of time.
I definitely have... I wouldn't call it ADD, but I have to be doing multiple things at once. Mm-hmm. So when I have my PS4 on, I'm playing on my PS4, I've got a YouTube video going on in the background. If I'm watching a show on Netflix, I've got a phone game going or Switch or my 3DS. I very rarely am just gaming unless it's something, it's an event game like God of War or Spider-Man, something I've been really looking forward to that really I can sink my teeth into and only focus on that.
That might be something of a reason why. Most games I play were single-player games. Multiplayer meant like a friend came over and played with you, but even then those multiplayer games would be like 3 to 4 hours of gaming at a time, and hopefully you could save the session. Sega, you couldn't, but you just played through it until you beat the game. But at some point, games changed, and when games changed, that's when I started, I think, to fall out of gaming. where I know in college, with the, speaking of the GameCube, Smash Brothers was a big game, or Super Smash Brothers.
And speaking of Smash Brothers, that's actually the first item on our list to talk about today.
Oh, but so should we get to the show itself? Rather than just
No. Please continue your...
my old man rants on why I'm no longer a gamer, and I want to be a gamer. Maybe. Do I want to be a gamer? That, I think, is a secret question in and of itself. Gaming, like, part of it is once I've fallen out of this community as an outsider sometimes, it does, there's a lot of news and weird stuff that goes on in gaming, and sometimes I'm glad not to be in the community, but to, with my experience and background, go, okay, I have some idea of what people are talking about. I'm not totally clueless, but there are times where sometimes it's better not to be a gamer, I feel, where not to be kind of associated with what's going on. But part of it is also, I don't know everything. It seems like it's so fast-paced. It's more than just a hobby these days. You have to, like, dedicate full time to gaming every day. No?
So, you're sort of on the right track. I think part of it is the weird and toxic stories and things that...
That probably gets highlighted more.
It gets highlighted way more than the good stuff. Gaming in general is what you make of it. If you just play single-player games, you don't have to interact with the community at large. You don't have to stream. You don't have to make YouTube videos or go on Twitch and spam emojis or whatever. I relatively play mostly single-player games. I have a couple friends that I'll do co-op things online with. My only multiplayer game really is Overwatch, that I play with strangers and occasionally friends when I'll group up with them. But in general, most everything I play has always been single players. Gaming has been kind of my escape through my life. And I generally enjoy single player games more than multiplayer. Although there are some great multiplayer experiences, especially watch my YouTube channel. We play a lot. It's fun getting friends together and playing a game and having
the social aspects of gaming.
The social aspects.
I
never really got... The problem that I think you might identify with is I never got into online gaming. I was all about local...
Very true.
The kind of camaraderie of having people together. While online gaming, I was never about, you know, Call of Duty or... Battlefield or Battlefront or Battle XYZ, where you get into a chat and people yell insults at each other and you're trying to get the biggest kill streak. And that never appealed to me.
That's, for me, it was paying to pay for games, I think. The first time where I was, so when I felt like a split from the gaming community was games like, I think, Ultima Online and like EverQuest started to come about. Where those were games where, oh, they had massive stories and it seemed like something I wanted to play that I might enjoy. Except one, I'd have to play it online and I'd have to pay to play it online. And then there would be other people also playing the same stories I was. Didn't, as a kid, teenager, whenever it was, I couldn't really grasp that concept of, so I'm going to go on a quest by this NPC who's going to give me this specific quest to help them. And then there's a line of like five people behind me waiting to get that same quest and also do the same thing as I am. And I can kind of see them, made me feel a little bit weird about where gaming was going. And I kind of stuck then to the individual stuff. The battle stuff made sense. Counter-Strike, Team Fortress, those games, okay, I got in the sense that, okay, you're on a team, you're fighting the other team. Quick and easy games. Not really for plot, but you don't play those games for plot.
Yeah, I never got into those either. That was a big, when I was a kid, a big sticking point for me was, if I'm going to pay for a game, I'm not going to then continue to pay just to play it. So the idea of World of Warcraft or EverQuest, where you had to pay $50 or $60 to get the game, and then also had like a monthly subscription, I didn't do that. Of course, now I pay microtransactions and DLC and all that stuff, but I still refuse to pay a subscription for a single game.
Yet, you own Netflix.
I also own Amazon Prime.
I was going to say that one next.
Mm-hmm. But Amazon Prime isn't, again, subscription for a single game. Netflix, you get a whole library of movies. Amazon Prime, I get music. I get TV shows and movies. I get
special shipping. You're paying for content.
I'm paying for content. I'm not paying for a single game.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to pay $10 a month for, I don't know, use World of Warcraft as an example. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it's still subscription or not because I don't pay attention.
I assumed it was. I mean, I know they released there's a recent new expansion coming to it, but
I honestly have no idea. It's a world of gaming I don't really pay attention to. But so if I'm paying that $10 a month subscription fee, I feel like I'm going to have to be only playing that to get my money's worth out of it. Because if I only put in like 1 or 2 hours a week or 1 or 2 hours a month and I'm paying $10 a month,
you're losing money.
I'm losing money. And with Netflix, I watch at least an episode of TV a night, usually more.
Do you have a cable bill or cable?
No, we don't have cable.
Same here. Like, I switched over to completely like Netflix, Amazon Prime. I found it's a lot cheaper, and it feels like I'm getting more value from that.
Right.
Yeah. The flip side, though, is on when you mentioned the microtransactions. So that's where I kind of am as a gamer today. I play those app games. I play games like Hearthstone. I play games like Clash of Kings or Clash Royale, where it's internet. They're internet games now, and they're for 5-6 minutes. You play a match or something, and then you can just put it away. And I don't obsessively play them, but I find that, so, okay, I have a little bit of a break. I have a lunch break. I can play for a little while. Or, oh, I have some time between meetings and nobody's watching. I'll just do that. Or I'm in the bathroom. I'll just game while I'm on the toilet or something. But I don't really sit down and play games for like an hour or 2 hours. Partly, I just don't have enough free time, I feel.
Okay. That's fair. But that's how a lot of people game nowadays.
And so maybe this is kind of my way to kind of see what's back in that gaming world and see, so what is going on back there? Maybe I can get back into it and won't have arguments about, like, is the Switch a console or not?
Well, on that note, why don't we jump into our first talking point today?
All right.
Earlier you talked about Super Smash Brothers, and a new one is coming out for the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Called Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
I have heard some things about this, yes.
So I'm just going to go over the information that we know about it so far.
Let me just shout out, rest in peace, Luigi.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll get to that.
Okay.
So the big selling point of Super Smash Brothers Ultimate is everyone's back.
Every single character.
Every single character that has been in a Super Smash Brothers from the first one until the Wii U version, all of them are back.
Ice Climbers for the win, baby.
Yeah, Ice Climbers are back. Pichu is back. Snake is back. Everyone that got cut at some time or another is now back in the game. They even have separate Toon Link and Young Link.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. Yeah, I guess they kind of played different. I don't remember.
They're technically different characters, so they're both back. They're also adding new characters.
Excellent.
First thing is they added this thing called Echo Fighters, in Super Smash Brothers, people complained about clones. Ganondorf is a clone of Captain Falcon.
But they play different, but yeah, okay.
They had the same moves.
Yeah, I like Ganondorf, though, but yeah.
By now, in this iteration of Ultimate, Ganondorf is enough of a different character that he's not considered an Echo Fighter. But they did add this classification, so they're basically palette swaps with very, very minor differences.
But so like Ganondorf versus Captain Falcon, it was a speed difference as well and a power difference. Are the Echo characters equivalent in speed and power then?
Is it just a skin swap? One of the Echo Fighters is Daisy. So there's Peach and Daisy. They're both princesses, and it's just kind of...
But they still have, like, all the Princess Peach's moves. And if I remember, didn't Peach have, like, a Daisy outfit that you could switch to?
Yeah, she did. I'm trying to remember what else. I think Lucina is a Echo Fighter for Marth.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember the Sword Fighters. They had, like, there was they had different moves back in the original ones, I guess. Mm-hmm. Would the Echo then just have the same moves as whoever they were with?
So that's an interesting thing, because one of the newer ones that was announced was Crom, who is another Fire Emblem character. They've got so many of them now. He's considered an Echo Fighter of Roy.
Okay.
But he has moves from both Roy and Ike's moveset. So he's kind of a mishmash of both characters, but nothing original about him. He's just...
Okay. He's just like a reconfiguration of... So he's not adding a new move or such, but he's got a different combination of skills, but not skills that you haven't seen before.
Right. So okay. I think that's what the Echo Fighter is going to end up being. There's probably going to be a couple more. They said they haven't finished announcing all the new characters yet, so we'll
see.
That
seems... At first, I was like, this Echo thing seems like we're just over-classifying things in general. But if they have, like, different moves and such, then it makes more sense of, like, okay, this is something familiar yet different in a way. But if it's just simply, why couldn't I have just pushed, like, the button to swap, like, the skin color or the clothing outfit, like, blue Link versus, like, yellow Link versus the undead-looking Link... Like, that's not an Echo to me. It's, but if we're going to call it an Echo, then all right, we're just naming things for the sake of naming.
Right. So the other characters that they've announced that are completely new, there's the Inklings, which are from the Splatoon series, which is...
They had been like a long time coming. Were they like the first or the oldest kind of mentioned? Because I felt like the Inklings were already in Smash, if not...
No.
Okay.
So... Splatoon was first released on the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was it is the first new IP from Nintendo in a long time that's done really well, aside from like Wii Sports or the Wii franchise, if you want to call it that. So
rather than building on like Mario or Link or Zelda or those sorts of things.
Yeah, exactly. And so as soon as Splatoon took off, everyone wanted... a Splatoon representative in Smash because it's a new franchise. So it was kind of a given that if they're making new Smash Brothers, they're going to include their newest hit franchise. So the Inklings are from that.
Got it.
Then there is Ridley, who is the giant dragon thing? Yeah, giant dragon thing, bad guy from Metroid, Samus's rival. I got to play him at E3.
And
he was super overpowered. Like, stupid, crazy, too good.
How big? Isn't the dragon, like, isn't... He's big. Didn't he used to be, like, the background of a...
Yes.
A battle
team? They've shrunk him down a little bit, but he's still relatively big.
Okay. And
he is crazy good in terms of... Imagine Ganondorf, but twice as powerful.
Does he take skill to operate, or would I, like, out of the box, be able to kick ass with this guy?
I think, depending on... I have a feeling they're going to change him before the game is finally released, but he's pretty much out of the box crazy.
Like, good. I can just button mash away.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, just Ganondorf punt someone out of the map right away.
Pretty much.
Okay. I like that, maybe.
So then there's the newest announcement, which now we're getting to Luigi dying, was Simon Belmont and Richter Belmont from the Castlevania series.
I remember the original Castlevania, and then I remember there were other games, but I only know like the arcade Castlevania where you whipped candlesticks to get like health and such.
Well, that's
I never really played it. And then, so the other guy, don't know who he is at all.
Richter is, oh goodness. So I know Richter from Castlevania Symphony of the Night, because you play at him from the end of the previous game. Like, the intro section is Richter fighting Dracula, and then you switch over to playing as Alucard for the remainder of the game. Then there's, like, a secret Richter mode where if you type in Richter as your name when you start the save file, you get to play the whole game as Richter. But, so the previous game, I think, was Super Castlevania 4.
For what system?
Super Nintendo.
Okay.
It might have been Dracula X. I don't remember which game.
So it's been a while since we've seen these characters.
Yeah, but they're like the OG Castlevania characters. If you're going, if it's either them or Alucard, probably. Okay. And Alucard is actually in the game as an assist trophy as well.
No, Dracula?
So one of the stages they announced was Dracula's Castle. where a bunch of enemies from the Castlevania games will show up and wreck your shit. Mm-hmm. And Dracula is one of them that can show up on that game.
I hope there's candles there.
There are candles, yes.
That you can
hit
smash.
Candles, yes. And get items. Yeah.
It's the little things sometimes.
And so, going back, Simon is the main character and Richter is his Echo Fighter. So mm-hmm. I don't know, but there'll be slight differences in how they play. They also announced Dark Samus as another Echo Fighter.
Okay.
Who is from the Metroid Prime series and will just play as, you know, evil Samus. Mm-hmm. And then the final big announcement was King K. Rool.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have not actually. I know of Donkey Kong. I know of King K. Rool. I was wondering, was it. So when I read it for the first time, I was like, was it Krul or was it K. Rool?
No, K. Rool.
K. Rool. All right. I can respect anybody with an initial for their name. The He looks like a fun character that I would like to play as someone who likes playing as the Ganondorfs, the Donkey Kongs, the Bowsers. Is he going to be in that feel, I wonder?
Probably. He looks like a heavyweight.
Yep.
So the thing that I'm not sure how he's going to play, because in the footage of him showing off his abilities, they have him as the king, obviously. Mm-hmm. But so back in Donkey Kong Country, he was King K. Rool. You fight him at the end of the game. He's got the crown. He's on a pirate ship. Whatever. In Donkey Kong Country 2, he's back, but he's Captain K. Rool because the game is pirate themed. And he's got a pirate hat and he has a blunderbuss that shoots yep. at you. All that stuff. In the ability showcase that they showed during his reveal trailer, you saw him in both the king outfit where he like throw and he can throw the crown at him, but also the pirate hat outfit where he had the blunderbuss and was firing at people. Oh. So I don't know if it's just different costumes and he'll be able to fire the blunderbuss regardless or what's going on there, but it looks like he could have multiple move sets. I don't know.
That's an interesting. So like, I know that they do this in games like, this is jumping a little bit to like Injustice and those where they have like, you can pick different movesets for the same character and it's just kind of one or two things are a little bit different or they're tweaked a little bit for speed versus power. I don't think Smash would ever do that, but I always wonder and I feel like that's when again I'll start to pull away where gaming gets too complicated for me then. Like, I enjoy gaming, but there are people who take this to levels like the professional levels of play where you can just get so fast at your reactions and stuff. I don't feel I'll ever get to that point. I just want to play it for the fun of it. And he looks like a fun character.
He definitely looks like a fun character. And so I'm interested to see who else is revealed.
Is there any? So I've been hearing a lot on the internet for this guy. Our buddy, Waluigi.
He's already been revealed as an assist trophy, which is why everyone's...
No, that's not the same.
No, like, it's not the same, but that's why everyone's freaking out. Everyone wants Waluigi to be a character for some reason. I have no idea.
I don't know why either, but I like the idea of it, and I'm kind of getting into the meme hype of it. Just, yes, bring back Waluigi. Although not bring back, just have him for the first time.
Yeah, I don't actually care. But it's people have been brought up good points in that the Mario series has a lot of spin-off sports games from Mario Golf to Mario Tennis. And that's actually where Waluigi showed up because they just, for whatever reason, they had Wario already and they wanted, you know, bad Luigi. And so Waluigi has pretty much shown up in Mario Kart, Mario Sports games, that sort of thing exclusively.
Has he ever been in an actual video game? Like, not console, but like a side-scrolling?
I think he might have been in one of the Mario RPGs, but I'm not 100% sure. So he's always been a spin-off character.
He should be in, like, Luigi had freaking games to himself. Why not put him as the villain of Luigi's whole thing?
I don't make the decision.
That's true.
But people have argued that since there isn't any Mario Sports representation, he could have a moveset based on the Mario Sports games.
No. Well, yeah, I guess. But Waluigi with, like, a tennis racket beating on someone?
That's what he does in his assist trophy. It's literally what he does.
Yeah, okay. It's just, I feel like Waluigi should be a badass in some way.
It's Waluigi.
Wow.
Okay. So just to finish this up, there was one last thing I wanted to talk about. And also, information, there's going to be over 100 stages. Each stage is going to have a Battlefield and Final Destination version. So technically, there will be around 300 stages.
I could see people just like marathoning this. Like, we're going to do every stage one by one, 300 matches, winner takes all.
Oh, jeez. That'd kill somebody. It's going to be insane. There's going to be over 800 music tracks, all
from various video games
and remixes from games. And you'll be able to play it as like an MP3 player, sort of. If you want to carry your Switch around, put your headphones in. You can.
It's not a Walkman. Switch, stay in your lane. Already a console.
And the last thing, so let's talk about Luigi dying.
Yeah, so, is he like dead? I just heard he died, and there's a whole bunch of people tributes for this guy. And what happened? Who killed him?
Everyone jumped on Luigi dying, but in the original E3 trailer when they revealed Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Ridley killed off Mega Man and Mario. So Luigi isn't the first Nintendo character to be murdered.
But like, was it? So, like, the implication here was, like, Luigi died. Mario, they have the extra hit points.
A shadow, Ridley's tail going through Mario's stomach, and then Ridley twirls Mario's hat on his finger. Like, Mario is dead. Luigi gets murked by death and has his ghost come out and, like, see his eyes roll back in his head. So it's a little bit more explicit, but yeah. Mario was murdered, too. And it's interesting because they've been revealing a lot more villains. You've got Ridley, Dark Samus, King K. Rool. They brought back Wolf, obviously, because all characters are coming back. And they've been systematically murdering characters in the intros. So people are starting to think, and I'm kind of getting caught up in the rumor mill here, but there was a mode that the developer, Sakurai, blurred out when he was showing off the game recently, and they said they can't talk about it yet, but people are thinking it might be like a single player adventure type mode has to do with people dying and like the villains taking over or something like that.
I don't remember which one it was, but I actually owned a Smash game at some point. It wasn't the most recent one, but it had a 1-2 player campaign. I loved it. It was amazing. It was like a side-scrolling game, and you fought through various levels. You had to fight like just generic villains or bad guys, but then you fought bosses as well. And I thought it was so well done, and it made the game perfect for me. As someone who doesn't normally like fighting games, but I enjoyed Smash when I had my friends around, but that was a game that I could just play with a single friend and just play all the way through it. It took me back to being a gamer as a kid of like, that's what I did on the Sega. You played the side scroller and you played it all the way through. I would love if something like that happened. Oh, I don't know if I could buy a. That's the problem. There's so much investment that has to come into these things now, but that would be tempting. Ooh.
Well, I'll keep you updated. We'll see what happens with that. What unknown mode?
Most definitely. Ooh, interesting.
So moving on. We've got another news article here that we're going to talk about that's a slightly different.
Think I'll know something about this one? Is it in the...
It's been in the news, and I've mentioned it to you before.
Okay.
So there's this, the most popular streamer in the world, Ninja.
I have heard of this guy. Fortnite,
yes. Mm-hmm. He's gotten super popular with Fortnite. Last week, I should preface this by saying we're recording this August 18th. So this was last weekend when this article came out. So it was around the 10th or 11th. Ninja provided an interview to the website Polygon where he talked about how he doesn't play Fortnite with other women because he's married.
Aha.
Okay. He rightfully got dragged on for it a lot. And I'm going to pull up the original article here.
Does he play the game? I think he played with, like, Drake. He's played with dudes.
He plays with dudes all the time, but he plays exclusively with dudes. So he says, if I have, this is straight from the Polygon article. If I have one conversation with one female streamer where we're playing with one another, and even if there's a hint of flirting, that is going to be taken and going to be put on every single video and be clickbait forever.
Huh. Can I hear that quote one more time?
Sure. If I have one conversation with one female streamer where we're playing with one another, and if even if there's a hint of flirting, that is going to be taken and going to be put on every single video and be clickbait forever.
So, okay, when you first said this, I was like, is this guy pulling a Mike Pence defense? The Pence defense, I cannot have dinner with a woman one-on-one. But that quote right there, okay, so here's the thing. I don't know if he's wrong. That as a reason, that gets tricky. I mean, so he's this really famous gamer. He has a large platform. He could bring a lot of people up with that. He's bringing up only dudes, basically, and the women are being excluded. And his reasoning, though, I mean, in our world of like tabloid and media and stuff, even I guess video game players or like streamers, they would have like not paparazzi, because I guess their whole lives are kind of put already out there on the media. But like, I guess they could get dragged in the news or put everywhere. If he was flirting with a gamer, a female gamer. Oh, man. But does that happen, like, if he says, like, something to a guy, does he get dragged already for, like, oh, he's causing beef or something like that?
I don't know.
Or is he just kind of using this as kind of a, this is why. So this is tough, actually. I have to stop on my forming an opinion of this.
It's a very weird space to be in because it's almost... It's the same thing as tabloid journalism, essentially, where you have like your National Enquirer and your, Star or Sun, or I don't know what they're, I don't pay attention to them. Yeah, Page Sixes. Except gamers are all about the online presence. And so the rumor mill and the tabloid journalism is all about YouTube and for like clickbait articles. Like, is Ninja seeing someone that's not his wife?
Yeah.
And I can see that becoming a problem. But at the same time,
is that a good enough reason to?
It's not a good enough reason.
Yeah.
And it's because celebrities deal with this all the time. Celebrities, there's some, probably some news story out there right now that says, Kanye West has been murdered by Kim Kardashian, and it's a alien clone that's been walking around because the Kardashians are actually from Mars. Like, that is probably not far from an article in some magazine somewhere.
Growing up as a kid, we saw those all the time, and like this, you go to the store and there would be those like those tabloid articles. They were tabloid though, and you knew that, you just kind of ignored it a little bit.
Yeah, and the problem is internet nowadays has lost that, okay, this is sensationalism, we're not going to pay attention to it. Because you get with Twitter, with Facebook, with YouTube, everything is just thrown at you. There's no
filter. That's where we get into a bigger, like, especially now with the media in and of itself, like, what is the media responsible for? Is tabloid journalism the same as investigative journalism? And then we have things like fake news out there.
We have to hear all sides, though. We have to hear every opinion because we have to give a platform to... No, we don't. We don't have to give a platform to everyone. And if we do give them a platform, we can put them in under National Enquirer and be like, hey, listen, these guys are making shit up. You can laugh at it, but don't think this is real news. And the big thing about Ninja is... he is a popular streamer of a game that's popular with kids, which means we've got like 8-year-olds, we've got 10-year-olds watching him. And he recently, a couple months ago, did a thing where parents were coming up to him and saying like, I wish I could let my kid listen to your stream, but I have to play it on mute because you have people on that curse and you like have foul language and I don't want my 8-year-old to be hearing that from you, but he likes watching you. And so he got on stream and he made an announcement. He's like, I'm going to start rating my streams. If I have R-rated people on or whatever, but I'm going to try That's not a bad compromise.
Rating it versus he's not censoring himself. He's just simply putting it into categories to make it easier.
Right, right, exactly.
Okay.
And so he's aware of his audience.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same, and so this and it is
seems
kind of
like he's
a,
well-intentioned.
It's well-intentioned, but
he doesn't seem like a dick.
No.
Sorry, I just increased the ratings of your.
Oh no, we've gone PG-13. Wait, I think we've said a curse word more than once, though, so we might have gone to R. Who knows? But he's aware of his audience, and he has to be aware that shunning female streamers and saying he can't stream with them because of he's afraid of the rumors and he doesn't want to do that to his wife, he's protecting his wife or whatever, it doesn't set a good image for all these young men that are watching him, anywhere from 8 to 14. Like, they're in the formative stage where they mm-hmm. can see someone they looked up to and be like, well, he thinks that men and women can't just be friends and play games together, and that's going to be something that they keep with them for a long time mm-hmm. until they get older and realize that's stupid, or they get older and don't realize it's stupid at all
and they become the vice president. It happens.
It does happen.
That's, I think, the big, so he could be a big role model, and I agree with you on that, where he could actually show also the flip side of, yes, there is the risk of, oh, it'll be on the tabloids and such if he's flirting. But if he could show how to properly interact with women and how to actually just game and just have fun playing a game, it doesn't have to be sexualized in a way. Yes, of course, there is going to be people out there who are going to like sensationalize every little thing. But again, if his audience is also including younger folks, that's a big responsibility that he could do a lot of good, actually.
Yeah,
being more inclusive, I guess.
Yeah, he could do a lot of good, and he is, I don't want to say the most powerful streamer, because that sounds like he's Emperor Palpatine or something, but he has a lot of influence. And if he starts streaming with women, and they do start this rumor mill, and he just ignores it, it'll be a good example, and maybe shut people up a little bit. Like, if he goes on stream with a girl and then they all start throwing around, oh, he's cheating on his wife with. The problem is, now that he's said this out loud, it's going to be really hard for him to backtrack, because the first female he streams with, everyone's going to be like, well, why did he break his rule?
Oh, he likes her. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. And so he needs to.
I don't think
he needs to, because
Harvey Z solution here. Stream with your wife's son.
He does that.
Oh. So is she famous?
Not as famous as him. But they do stream together. She's been on his stream. She has her own stream that she does. So,
was she like a streamer person before she met this guy, Ninja?
No idea. Listen, I'm not a Ninja follower. I just report the news, man.
Ah.
But
okay.
The line is, he doesn't stream with anyone that isn't his wife.
So he's a one-woman streamer.
He's a one-woman streamer, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's
so then the flip side. So I'd heard about this little bits and pieces, and I was like, oh, this guy sounds like a dick. But I think this is tricky, where he's coming up with a reason to justify his actions. I don't know if they're the best reasons or the most ideal reasons. And it gets into this sense of, like, if neighbor Joe Bob down the road does this, okay. But if, like, the most powerful or the most influential streamer does it, should they be held to the same standards as, like, Joe Bob down the street? Like, this guy, because he's so powerful, does he have a greater responsibility to the gaming community because of that? That's where I feel like that's a tough question to answer. It's an interesting question, though, because if you're a gamer out there and you're just streaming, maybe you don't need to worry about these things. Or if you have that rule, you're not probably going to get called out on it. But if you're the number one guy, then yeah, I could see where his fears or his anxieties might be there. But at the same time, that's a really easy way to divert or kind of cover, not cover up, but just avoid having to get into the situation. Is, again, It is, in a form, a Pence defense.
You just like saying that.
Maybe.
It's not an easy position to be in, because obviously I have... No, I don't have a following. Let's just leave it at that. This is starting from the ground up, first episode.
We started from the bottom. No one knows who I am. And we're still at the bottom.
Yeah, we're still at the bottom. And so I don't have any of the pressure of being in the limelight and being constantly looked at for being a role model or entertainment or anything, really. And so it's very easy for me to shout my opinion into a microphone and be like, listen, you need to stream with women. And I think he does. The internet at large kind of dragged him. A bunch of female streamers were, you know, making fun of him. He ended up posting a response being like, look, listen, this isn't, it's about mental, he was trying to be clear that it was about minimizing online harassment. It wasn't about like, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to turn into a lust-filled monster if I stream with a woman. It's about what other people are going to say. But it's a interesting thing with streamers and video people who play video games for a living, because they're all young. You're going to see a lot of 20s,
you know. Dating yourself there by saying they're the young folks, but yeah.
I mean, but it's not...
Like, I hadn't factored in, like, oh, he gets a 10-year-old or less audience, and those guys are
exactly. Games? It's... A lot of people don't know how to deal with celebrity well. And part of the people who are, like, in Hollywood and things like that, like, George Clooney or whatever has been dealing with paparazzi for 30 years or more. And they can sort of control what the media gets, what's going on, and things like that. Well, Ninja, his celebrity comes from being online and interacting with his followers every day. George Clooney has a massive following, but he stars in one movie a year, does some interviews, maybe shakes a few hands. I don't, like, does he have a Twitter? I don't even know. Like, these people, you can be 10 years ago, it doesn't even have to go back that far. Fans were separated from the people they idolized, and now they nowadays the people who get popular are the ones who interact with their fans directly, and it becomes this sort of problem because the tabloid rumors and the magazine stuff is coming directly from people. And as soon as you say it, 30 minutes later, it's a clickbait YouTube video. And there's no filter. There's no controlling the information. And it presents a very unique problem with social media and the internet at large.
Is it kind of the newest or the edge of where... a new culture way of kind of dealing with these things? Like, there's Hollywood fame and there's celebrity fame, there's sports fame. Video game fame seems new to me, at least.
Yeah, it's definitely new.
And so we don't quite have the culture, the etiquette. Like, Hollywood has been around. We have the glamour. We have the 1940s onwards. We have all these awards. We know a little bit about how it is. And then we have the paparazzi and stuff, and it seems to have intensified, but it's intensified because of the way that the technology has improved. We're now far more connected with the internet. We're far more connected with social media. And that's kind of, social media is influencing Hollywood. It's influencing sports, but video games also, but there's less of a history to them prior to social media. They're kind of one and the same. And I'm sure there's social media, social influencers, if you will, of like people who are social media famous, but not famous for other things. And so we don't know how to treat or do those things, but that's where I think like Ninja, I agree, he could be someone who could set a standard, but should we force him to set a standard is the flip side. Because if not him, then who?
Right. And again, it goes back to, he's in a very unique position that I don't envy, because he is like, so there's PewDiePie, who is the YouTube guy with the most followers. He makes the most money from YouTube, and he's a video game streamer, and he makes video game content.
For some reason, I have negative associations towards PewDiePie. Did he like screw up or something?
Oh, he screwed up a bunch of times. He's not a good person.
Okay. Fair enough.
But he has the same audience. He's got 50 million followers or whatever. Don't pay attention. But he has 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds watching, 8-year-olds, whatever. He hasn't done anything with his platform. He's just used it. But the other thing is, I think he's, Swedish? Scandinavian?
He's not American.
He's not American. And it...
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but yo.
But it's a thing where it's like...
A different culture.
It's a different culture, and the internet at large is this melting pot of different cultures. So how do we make... Like, we can't make... As Americans, we like to think we can, but we can't make other cultures be our culture.
And that's almost paradoxical. I feel like true American culture is a little bit of everything. But that's what the ideal is. Perhaps it's not, and many of you may disagree or agree with that statement. And you have a right to do so, because that's the American way.
But so... Obviously, PewDiePie, who has been around for several years, longer than Ninja, he hasn't done anything with his platform to advance anything. He's just made money. And Ninja's currently in the same boat. He's making a lot of money. He's doing fan events and stuff like that.
Do we need a social media Mr. Rogers?
We might.
Do we have one already? Is there anyone close to that of where there's... Because, like, for me, when I was a kid, Mr. Rogers was on TV. Therefore, he was famous.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, as I grew up, I learned, like, Mr. Rogers spoke out. He used his celebrity platform to, like, there were court hearings and stuff. This man actually did stuff more than just hanging out in the neighborhood and, like, talking to me on TV. He was, do we have anybody doing that sort of thing? Like, kind of paving the way. Even in sports and so, we have, like, retired sports, the Hall of Famer folks. There are people who, even when they're like LeBron James and his education stuff, we have people who are trying to set good examples or trying to do the best they can. I don't at least hear a lot about that in social media influencers doing those sorts of things.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you bring that up, because you say social media influencers.
I hate that term, by the way.
I do too. But what do they do? They don't actually...
They bring attention to a cause.
But But the cause isn't actual... It's not Mr. Rogers' causes. Social media influencers are like, give me a free night in your hotel and I'll post pretty pictures and get people to come to your hotel and visit your...
True, that's not what I was thinking more. I was thinking more of like the ALS bucket challenge or so, where like... But that was something that went viral. It wasn't a thing in and of itself. And I almost feel like, well...
There was a problem. Was that the ice thing?
The ice, you pour the bucket of ice over
yourself.
Wasn't
there like an actual big controversy over that? Because people were like, listen, this is great and all, but they're getting too many donations... And other things, or like, something weird.
There's always this. So, like, with like breast cancer, with like even like prostate/testicular cancer, like the Movember months with the mustaches. Like, anytime you have a cause, there's always another side that says, yeah, but what about our cause? Or not even our, what about the other cause? That also seems to pop up where there's just this, yeah, but. And then somebody has to distract. It almost feels like a debate tactic or just like a trolling tactic in a way.
That is very true.
As soon as you focus on one thing, yeah, but what about everything else that's going on in the world today? Like, why should we focus on your cause? And that just becomes, after a while, again, like a semantics debate tactic issue where it's, yeah, you can't save everything. But if you have a cause that you like, hey, focus on it and try to bring some attention. But the problem is people say, oh, well, you're the only one getting the attention or so forth.
Okay, I hate to bring this back around, but did you say Movember?
Movember? Isn't that what it's called? like mustache.
Should it be Movember? Because it's N but with an M.
Mustache is M-U, no? M-O-U?
Movember?
Because Movember.
Like, Movember makes me think we're going to be talking about cows. Like, save the cows during November.
Mustaches?
Mustache is not a thing. It's mustache.
But Mustember? Mustember.
That's not a thing.
Sorry, Mustember made me think of, like, now, in my Harvey Z brain, like, Coheed and Cambria's Neverenders. Mustenders! We must end this show tonight!
Mustember, to me, sounds like a really bad, like, Yankee candle that you would get. Like, you light it. This smells of mustember.
Mmm, that smokiness and leatheriness.
Oh, God.
What could be more manly than that for Mustember, Movember, Mustendered?
Well, on that note, I think we're actually hitting our time for this week's podcast. So, since we must ender this podcast... where can they find you online, Harvey Z?
Oh, God. I, unlike George Clooney, am on Twitter at the Z is silent. It's T-H-A, Z is silent. There's okay. a story behind it, but watch the videos, I guess, of T-Man to figure out why.
Right.
Or just tweet at me and ask me. Better yet, do that.
Like, click, and subscribe. You can find me on Twitter at tmanplaysgames, and you can find my blog posts at tmanwrites.com. I try to do weekly gaming articles and things like that there. And that about wraps it up. We don't have a catchy log-off phrase, do we?
Maybe that should be the catchy log-off phrase.
No.
We don't have a catchy log-off phrase, ladies and gentlemen. But then we need to say that we need to see them next week. Crap. We'll workshop this.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Later.